Good morning.
Morning.
How are we doing?
Good.
I'm going to walk up here and see if it howls again and I get my water. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, it's humbling to read God's Word, to study God's Word, and then kind of be kicked by God's Word. I don't know if you've ever been in that spot. Have you ever been kind of kicked by God's Word? Have you ever read something and then just kind of realized, wow, this is making it hard for me to feel good about myself right now? Sometimes the Bible, I think, is probably meant to do that, to correct us. This week has been that for me. I realize that I'm not up to par. So this morning I'm preaching to myself, as well as to all of us. And usually that's what we do. But this morning, this one is really, really a kicker. You know, there are 10 commandments and many laws after that. But there are 10 commandments that are the crux, the focus, highly recognized, really pushed. And we know most of them. Many of us would probably be able to write most of them down, even if it wasn't word for word. And many of us would probably also agree that this is the way that we should just live our lives, and everybody should live their life too. We follow them to some degree, we know them to some degree, and then an interesting thing is sometimes we think about the fact that God commanded them. You shall have no other gods before the Lord. You shall not have any idols. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife, house, field, male or female servant, ox, donkey, or anything else of his. Most of those you probably do. And again, most of those you probably try at some level to do, and you could write down a whole list of reasons why we do those things just in a humanistic personal thing where your neighbor across the street, the guy across the cubicle, across the field, wherever it is, should also be doing those things, and they would most likely agree. Shouldn't murder, shouldn't steal, shouldn't covet my neighbor's wife, right? Honor your father and mother. First and foremost, God commanded these. It is interesting how oftentimes we'll take stuff in the Bible and we'll follow it based on the fact that it's beneficial, or the fact that it's accepted, or the fact that we like it, as opposed to the fact that God simply commanded it. Second would be, is it moral? Is it good? Is it acceptable? Is it popular? Is it easy? I left out the fourth commandment, if you noticed that. The fourth commandment is, you shall remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I have failed miserably at this. You may be in the same boat, maybe not. I don't need to completely go into why, but the simple way to kind of describe it is, it's just the way I grew up. What was going on around me? The busyness, the cool factor, the FOMO, the human side of it. And I believe that is wrong of me. And so I stand here again preaching to myself as much as preaching to all of us. Pastor Brian clearly communicated last week kind of this introduction to Sabbath. What Sabbath is, why we do it. We don't need to get into a ton of the whys, but the biggest why is that God commanded it. He did command it to His Israelites, right? It's in the Ten Commandments. And I don't know if any of us are Israelites. Some of us might be. Maybe we're part. Who knows? But most of us don't follow the Mosaic law for righteousness. But many of us follow, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of it because of the moral conduct of it, right? The moral perfection in it. But God commanded this. I should say God instituted this way back before the law was written. In fact, it was before the flood, before the Tower of Babel, before Cain and Abel, before day 8. In fact, God started this whole thing on day 7. We're gonna read about how day 7 connects with the law, which connects with the New Testament a little bit. But most importantly, we're going to look at today just the fact that we need to stop and rest. The reason, the biggest reason why I have failed to follow the Sabbath, or to observe the Sabbath, if you want to call it that way, is because I am a failure at stopping and resting. My rest would make most of you get tired. Occasionally, I rest, but I usually do it, check this out, because I'm tired, because I want it, because I have a day off, because the world around me says, you deserve this. I have not yet really done it because God said, do it. So if you wouldn't mind opening your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, Genesis, Exodus. It's the second book of the Old Testament. This is where God is giving the Israelites the Ten Commandments. They are at the mountain. God is talking to them, talking to Moses, talking to them. Awesome story if you want to hear it. We're going to read just a section of it. So if you wouldn't mind standing as we read this. I'm going to read out of the ESV. But before we do this, let's prepare our hearts and pray. Heavenly Father, you gave us your word, and you continue to give us your word. Lord, I pray that this is our authority, that we allow you to speak to us, to guide us, to teach us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You may have a seat. God tells the Israelites to rest on the Sabbath day, to stop on the Sabbath day. And not only them, their children, their servants, their livestock. We'll see later on their fields, in a sense. But the reasoning is interesting. He didn't say, just because you're Israelites. He didn't say, just because I love making up laws. He didn't say, because I look around and the rest of the world works 6 days. So I thought, you know what? Let's just be like the rest of the world. In fact, God wanted his people to be unlike the rest of the world, set apart. And he wanted this day, the seventh day, to be set apart. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, so there is something special about it. God, in the beginning, made a distinction of one day out of the seven. So 6 are one way, and the seventh is different. Years later, he has his people called the Israelites. They're enslaved in Egypt, and he brings them out of Egypt, and he actually connects it to this a little bit we see later. But God now brings that rest and the stopping and the holiness and the set-apartness of the seventh day and gives it to them and says, you must remember this. He doesn't even say, make it something new. He says, remember it, as if they already knew it. But I can't vouch for them. It's a long time ago. In Deuteronomy 5, which is later on before they go into the promised land, he tells them these same things, but he says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So now he's attaching it also to their freedom from enslavement. Rest, if you even want to put it that way, from enslavement. And allowing them to have this day. Not only allowing it, commanding it. But I wonder if we do that. Do we have a Sabbath day? And my guess is mainly not, probably. American church, the Western American church, Southern California church, most likely, sorry if this hurts, if it gets 11:15, you're probably looking at your watch because you got stuff to do. But if I was sitting in that chair, I might do the same. Because most likely, our day is not given to God, our morning is given to God. And even so, maybe not even our morning, maybe just the hour and a half that we're here, or the 3 hours if you do something extra. Is the whole day given to God? Now, what that looks like, we're going to talk about, and that is even hard to define. But is it holy, set apart, consecrated, different? Does your Sunday after 11:30 look any different than your Saturday? Probably looks different than your Friday or Monday, depending on what your work week looks like. But in your heart, is it any different? In your busyness, is it any different? In your blood level, is it any different? The first time this word even came up was with the Israelites in the wilderness. Remember, we've talked before, not too long ago, about God providing manna for the Israelites, right? They didn't have any food, and God said, I will provide your food every day. I'm going to give you, basically manna would come. In the morning, they would gather it up, and that would be their food for the day. And he actually told them, you can't gather more on Monday than you can eat. If you gather for Tuesday, it's going to go bad. It's going to go bad and rotten. So you get for Monday only. And then Tuesday you'll gather it, Wednesday you'll gather it, Thursday. But twice as much. Because on day 7, you're not allowed to gather. You're not allowed to go gather. You're not allowed to light a fire. You're not allowed to work on day 7. So even with their manna, which probably didn't, you know, it wasn't a crazy, right? They were supposed to stop and see this day as holy to the Lord. But it probably took some trust. Can you imagine the first week? Like, honey, what are we going to eat tomorrow? Well, Moses said that God said that he's going to, you know, rain. And they wake up, wow, look at this food. And then that first night, but it's Monday or whatever day, right? Wow, it lasted all day. We don't have any for tomorrow. God's going to provide that tomorrow. Okay, and then tomorrow they wake up, right? What? God did it again. God provided. And then tomorrow, okay, and they're still working. Can you imagine day 5, right? I heard Johnny over there gathered twice on Wednesday and it went bad. But we're supposed to gather more tomorrow. Honey, I'm a little feeling a little weird here because I trust God, but I don't know how much I trust God. But we're not supposed to gather on the 7th day. So we're going to gather twice as much. And they go out and they gather twice as much. And then they eat and they get to set apart some. But there has to be this trust that this is going to be enough food for tomorrow. God's going to honor my stopping today, tonight, and my resting tomorrow and give us enough. And he did it. God gave them enough to allow them to stop. And he gave it to them in the 6th day. God was valuing and even providing for that day of rest. How many of us feel like we can't stop? Maybe one of you. Well, that's good. Yeah. How many of you feel like if you stop, you're lazy? How many of you feel like other people will think you're lazy? Yeah. Now, what if I said, how many of you have a hard time not murdering people? But you don't because someone else is going to be mad at you. Like you really want to murder people, but because someone else... Or what if I said, honor your father and mother, only so you look good to the neighbors? Or what if it was because, no, we do these things because God commanded them. We do this because God said to do it. And in fact, God said to do this one, day 7. This has been around since before almost all the people were here. It was before the fall. Check this out. It was before there was sin. There was already rest. But the Sabbath is hard for us. One, we look at it and go, wow, maybe it's just a time thing. Maybe, well, it was just for the Israelites. It was a Ten Commandments thing. Look, I don't have to live by the law. New Testament says we don't live by the law. So what do you do with the other 9? What do we do with the other things that God instituted to teach us about life with God, life with people, to be set apart for Him? Because I would virtually guarantee you the other nine are high on our list of to-dos and to-don'ts. But yet this fourth one, literally, it's almost a popular sin. It's respectable. Just work every day. Like, our people would rather work to death, right? Well, that person's a workaholic. You got to love them. They never stop. They're always providing for their family, always providing more for their family. It's always about how much they can do, how much stronger they are, how much more they can work, and how much they can provide for their family. Seems counterintuitive, right? But there's a reliance upon the Lord and an obedience to the Lord. Have you ever struggled with the concept of tithing? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe tithing isn't even something that you really want to do or you even know about. But what God says is to give some to Him. And back in the day, it was a tenth. But can you imagine if you're stretched and you're like, wow, I'm barely paying for my gas. And God's telling me to give Him a portion. What does that mean? It means I have to go without and give to God to trust that He will continue to provide, not even realizing that He gave you all that anyway. And the car to drive for the gas. But it takes a step of faith and obedience to say, I'm going to sacrifice and give to God and trust that He's going to continue to give to me. And God says, stop, rest, make this day holy. Do we do that? Most of us struggle with it. But we don't take God out of the whole thing. Remember, so we're on kind of a path. Like we go to church, and some of us are like, okay, well, we won't do just this on Sundays, or we won't do that on Sundays. And in the Old Testament, it was the Sabbath, you know, the seventh day. And in the New Testament, they attached it to the resurrection day. And we find the church celebrating the resurrection, the freedom from enslavement to sin that Jesus gives us, right? And now they're gathering and celebrating the Sabbath, if you will, on the Lord's Day. John in Revelation, when he's writing, says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You look through the book of Acts, they met on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. But there was still their time to set apart holiness for God. But what do we do with that? It seems to be imitating God's work in creation, and then He attaches it to freedom from enslavement from Egypt, and then He attaches it to freedom from enslavement to sin with Jesus, and there is this still consistent time where we set apart time for God. We also must warn ourselves from a Pharisee-style lifestyle. Pharisee-style lifestyle. Pharisee ways. Who remembers who the Pharisees are? Some of you. Ever been called a Pharisee? Ever heard the word Pharisaic? What happened was this day got warped. The people took this and they, for some reason or another, probably the enemy, they warped it into saying you can't do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and they almost stretched it out of honoring God and more into what you're doing and not doing. And Jesus calls them out on that. If you remember the story when Jesus, he was walking with His disciples. Matthew 12, Mark 2 talk about they're walking through the grain fields and they're plucking heads of grain and the people say, well, they're doing something that's illegal, unlawful on a Sabbath. And Jesus is like, no, you're missing it. You're missing it. And then he heals a man on the Sabbath with a withered hand. You remember that? And people, it's almost like they're on hinges, on their toes, waiting to see if God, incarnate Jesus, will do something on the Sabbath. They had taken it way out of context and warped it. We don't want to do that. But is there a balance between not doing it at all and warping it? Where do we fit in the middle? How do we find this out? And we're talking about this through this whole series of Sabbath. But why would even God want us to stop? Because if you think about it, God doesn't need to rest. Like, He's perfect. I doubt He was like, wow, 6 days of creation? Man, making those dinosaurs were tough. Ugh. Adam, he's hard work, all that clay. I don't think that's what was going on. But God rested, and He made it holy. But what can we do with rest? What do we do with this? How can it even help us? I've written down a few things here. The Sabbath can help us rest. We all know what rest is, right? You know what a cat nap is or a power nap? You know, we get those. Rest can help our body rejuvenate, right? It can give us just some refreshment. It can help us to think. I actually was speaking to someone who's a part of this congregation, and they were telling us that they were at a conference, and this professor was saying that we need to schedule, this is weird, time in our day just to think. Which you would think, I don't have time to think. I have a full schedule. But her claim was, if you stop for 20 minutes and you schedule it in, completely boxed in, on purpose, to just think, you end up processing the things that need to be done, who to contact, you get set and ready, and then you're more effective for the rest of the day. But this is a time to think. Oh, what if you had a day and you could just think about God? How many of you wonder if God's talking to you? Ever wondered that? I wonder what God's saying to me. I don't know. Do you ever stop for God? I mean, you'll probably stop if you break your ankle. You'll probably stop if you're sick. Probably stop if there's a game on. Probably stop if you're eating. But do you ever stop because God said, just stop and be with me? I wonder how much more we would hear from God. It helps us worship. Most of us in here, I love you all. I can feel like this sometimes too. How long is this song? How many slides left we got? We just did this one. Are we repeating this one? Again, we're repeating it. Again, there's a bridge. Like, whatever it is. Like, or guess what? I know there's three songs and then the sermon and then there's the communion and then there's two songs and we're out. We got two songs and we're out. What if it was, we got all day? How many songs do you want to sing? Wonder what heaven's going to be like. We can worship God in voice and in action. We can reflect. We can actually think back of what God has been doing. God said, remember the Sabbath. God told the Israelites, remember, I brought you out of Egypt. And what we do on this day is we remember who Christ is. We talk about who Christ is, what Christ has done, how we live in honor of that. But if you had a day to remember all for the Lord, you can empty yourself. You ever been in that spot where you're just like, that was refreshing. How about this one? How many of you ever gone away to a cabin? Anyone? 9 of you. Okay, the rest of you should try it one day. If you've gone away on vacation, have you ever checked out to where you can't do anything else? Right? At the beginning, you're like, you know, and then after like an hour, you're like, wow, this is actually kind of cool. And then if you have no cell service, you're like, this is horrible. But then you're like, wait a minute, I don't have to talk to anyone. You ever walk away refreshed? Why can that be cool, but a day for God can't? And that's all about you and your calendar and your phone and my wants and my house, whatever. What if God was like, duh. Day 7 I invented that. It's called a vacation. But for God, check out from life. At the end of the day, it's all about God anyway. But we grind and we grind. How many of you are like me and you're at a stoplight and that's still too much? You reach over to your phone and you're like, did a text come through? Did an email come through? Because I don't even want to stop. My kids, I love them. My son, check this out. He will watch a movie, play his video game, and FaceTime someone at the exact same time. And it's relaxing for him. He doesn't even know how, like, you know, boredom. If a friend was over and a friend leaves, what, 8 minutes? I'm bored. What? Like, don't even know how to be by himself. Don't know how to sit. What if God is like, I'm trying to make you know this. You will not do this unless I make you do it. And in the Israelites' life, they actually got punished for it. There was big time in the, you know what happened if you broke the Sabbath in the Old Testament? Anyone got a rock? They stoned people. Not because they wanted people to die, but like that was a big deal. Still is a big deal. But obviously we have forgiveness and mercy and love in Christ. But do you think God loves the day of rest any less? Do you think he wants rest for his people any less? Or is it the 1.5 hours out of the 168 hours of the week. And so now I have 165.5 hours for me. And I'll talk to God for like 8 seconds before I fall asleep. and then a couple times before I eat. And then I get a verse once a week, and I look at it. Great. So collectively, you're giving God 165, no, you're not. You're giving you that. Oh, go figure. You're giving God 1 hour, 37 minutes, and 27 seconds. How in the world do you expect to function? Literally, like, I mean, how do we expect to function? Because you can tell your children, I need to sit down. I've been going all day. If I don't sit down and rest, I don't know how I'm going to be a good parent. You can tell your boss, hey, bro, I've been working 60 hours this week. If you want a good employee, I gotta check out a minute. What if God's saying, hey, son, daughter, if you don't stop, you're not going to do very well. You're going to run yourself crazy. And I've come up with this plan. It's actually been around for a little while. It's called a day of rest. But you got to stop. My thing is I don't stop. You know what I do? I multitask. How many are multitaskers? How many of you believe the lie that you're better off that way and that you actually get more done? There's evidence that says that's not so much. And I actually wrote some of these down so I would not forget it. I'm gonna read this to you. But we would, our society champions multitasking, right? You are, oh, you can multitask? Booyah! Hang out with that guy. He can multitask. You can do 9 things at once. If you got 100% ability, are you doing 100% at 9 things? That would mean 900%, which you ain't got. Multitasking takes mental effort. Switching between tasks requires mental effort, which can cost you up to 40% of your productive time. Ah, wow, as a boss, you probably wouldn't be happy if your employees were multitasking all day. Task switching is actually what we do because the human brain is not meant to do those two things at once, so we task switch. We go back and forth. But there's this other thing called attention residue that when we jump back and forth, we're actually still lingering on the other thing. And so we're not even really focused yet on the thing that we're doing. It's crazy. Yet we'll champion this. We'll celebrate it. In fact, there's probably apps that help you multitask. Lower quality of work. Multitasking can lead to more mistakes and having to repeat tasks. Stress and burnout. Multitasking leads to stress and burnout. Can lead. Decreased focus. Poor driving performance. How many of you have seen someone in front of you driving and you're like, they're multitasking. That's probably not the words you're using, but you're like, get off your phone. Brandon? The light's been green for 2 seconds. You should be going 100 miles an hour by now. But you're like, what do you just drive? Don't do all these other things. Multitasking is distracting. It slows you down and impairs executive function. It helps you make mistakes. Check this out. Doing several different things at once can impair cognitive ability, even for people who multitask frequently. In fact, research suggests that people tend to overestimate their ability to multitask. Go figure. We think we're doing much better than we are. And the people who engage in this habit most frequently lack the skills needed to be effective in it. Now, this is on a work level, a daily level. What if we called this into effect with the God level? How many of us multitask God? Do we just add God to our day? Do we just add God to our driving? Do we just add God to our basketball? Do we add God to our work? Now, you gotta be careful here, right? I don't want to become a Pharisee and say this and that and this and that because that's not what it's about. But if all we're doing is adding, we're just multitasking with God. When God says, I want you to stop and have time set apart for me, he doesn't say you can't do anything. And I'm not going to go into exactly what you can and can't do. That's a wrestling with God. But it is supposed to be set apart and holy. So if something is taking us out of the holiness, the set apart, the consecrated, taking us out of our godness, maybe that's an indication that that probably shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be doing that on that day. But we got to wrestle with that, right? Because the Apostle Paul talked about it, said, don't have anyone judge you on the way you do this. But I think the intention there is that you're doing it for God. Not that you're just doing whatever you want. I mean, we do whatever I want, and then I'll just call it the name of Sabbath. I'm going to go do everything that Brandon wants to do today, and I'll call it, that's my Sabbath. No, that's my Brandith. That's my Brandon day. when God clearly wants a God day? How effective is our God time? And again, this is not to be legalistic, but this is to look at what God wants of us and go, what does that mean? Because we have a God that, check this out, has set aside cabin time for us and Him. You can go away refreshed like you would from the cabin. I've read stories about people literally have said the best thing they ever did or the best thing about their life was that Sabbath. And it's counterintuitive. Lord, I don't know how to stop. I feel like I can't stop. How many of you are so driven you think you can't stop? Stop it. You know how many things I think? If I did all the things I think, I would not be equipped for this. I'm not equipped for this. Praise God for mercy and grace. But if I did all the things I think, you would not like me. If you did all the things you thought, I would not like you probably. We can't just go off what we think. We can't just go off what we feel because we are sinful and fallen. Therefore, we go to God, who is not sinful and fallen, who is perfect, and go, Lord, what you got for me? He says, I got all kinds of stuff for you, and it's going to bless your life. But you can't do it all. I can't do it all. How many of you have talked to someone in your house and they're on their phone and you're like, would you just stop for a minute? Because I know you hear me, but you're not with me. Or you're following them around the house like, hey, I was just wondering if, did you know yesterday? And then when you just sit with someone, you ever sat down with someone and just talked? You know how special that is? How about this? Have you ever just sat in a room with someone and that's enough too? You know where I'm going with that, right? Simple. Super hard. I mean, I'm wondering how many things we have to cut out. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to obey? It's like just like giving to the Lord. I don't know how to give to the Lord. I only got so much. Okay. God's not asking for all of it. And God doesn't need any of it. There's actually a blessing involved in following the direction that the Lord gives us. But we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? We don't just say, oh, wait a minute, it's old news, it's Old Testament, throw it out. New covenant, keep it in. We got to find some balance here because it is part of what God wants. It is part of what God does. It is part of who He is and who His people were, who His people kept being. So how do we do that? I think, one, we need to analyze our lives. In Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul says, set your heart on the things above, where God is seated at the right hand. Have you ever found that it's hard to do that while you're playing video games? While you're angry on the freeway? While you're physically laboring? Maybe that's a way you can do it. Maybe that's time you can do that. But to have a set apart time also of a day that says, Lord, I'm going to give you this. Because God wanted it as a part of their lives, because when we look at what God has done, He had that day of rest. He gave them the day of rest with the manna. He gave them the day of rest. He gave them a sabbatical year as well. There's a sabbatical year where you would till your soil and get your crops, and then the seventh year, you wouldn't use it. You weren't allowed to plant soil. You weren't allowed to harvest your crops. Can you imagine thinking, how am I going to get by for a year? But the rad thing is, in studying this, I never thought of this concept before. On the sixth year, God gave them 3 years' worth. 3 years' worth, because they had to eat and do the sixth year, right? Then the seventh year, they had ground that would just sit, and they had to eat the seventh year. The eighth year, they would start working again and then start seeding again, and they had to still continue to eat and do their thing. So God gave them enough in the sixth that it would provide for them in the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth. You know that God can multiply loaves and fishes. He can multiply your time. He can multiply your enjoyment. He can multiply your rest. He can multiply your health. He can multiply your enjoyment in Him. But it takes obedience. It takes sacrifice. Jesus observed the Sabbath. He also corrected the Sabbath. Right? You know, again, we talked about, it's not about me sitting up here and saying, you can do X, Y, Z, A, B, not C, D, L is wonderful, stay away from X. That's not what this is about. We all have a relationship with God. God works in all of us. But to set apart time. If you're not stopping, it's probably impossible for you to enjoy a Sabbath. Sabbath is not additional. I don't know how it works. It works because God wants it to. I couldn't tell you to take a complete day off and still keep your everything. Mark 2:23-27, when Jesus is talking with these people about the Sabbath, and they're saying, you can't do this, your guys did that, why do you do this? Jesus says to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. When we give ourselves to God, and we give our hearts to God, and we walk with God, we can say, Lord, how do we flesh this out? Because I live in a different world than 2200 BC. I live in a different world than 100 AD. I live in 2024 in the busiest place on the planet. How do we do this? Good thing we have a God that is living and active, amen? And he'll guide us. Talk, pray about it, walk through. But let us learn to stop and give ourselves to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you work in ways that are beyond us. You tell us that your ways are not our ways, and so there are times where we look at what you're telling us in your word and we say, how in the world can this work? But you have got it planned out, and you do multiply loaves, fishes, time, blessings, finances, love, forgiveness, mercy, grace. So Lord, help us to learn to stop. Help us to learn to give to you and dedicate to you the Sabbath. Whatever that looks like, not for our desire and our creation, but yours. And now, Lord, as we look back and reflect on one of the freedoms you've given us in communion, Lord, you took our sins upon you. You paid for them so we would have freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from the enemy. Lord, that is one of the main reasons we gather on this Lord's Day. May we give this time to you. Thank you for your freedom, for your rest, for salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.